My next guest is Felix Tabari, co-founder and CEO of Troop, who is making it much easier to build and apply custom proxy voting policies. Clearly an important topic, and Felix is now joining me from New York. Felix, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me.
All right, so look, I always like covering the basics. And so to begin here, if you'll indulge me, I want to start with some of those basics, and then we can certainly get into much more detail and obviously discuss some of the specific issues that Troop is seeking to solve. But first, I would just love to have you explain proxy voting at a high level. What is this?
Sure thing. So look, publicly traded companies, they report on their activities to shareholders through annual meetings. And typically, before those meetings, shareholders receive information on topics to be voted about at the meeting, share ownership, the structure of the board of directors, salary packages, and sometimes other proposals submitted by other shareholders. It's basically just the act of voting, saying yes, no, or abstain, or deciding who you want to nominate to the board, and you execute your vote once a year at the annual shareholder meeting.
And traditionally, how has this process gone? And perhaps we can break this into to two pieces. So you have individual investors who may directly own a stock. And then, of course, you have fund managers who are obviously owning stock on behalf of investors. Now, I'll tell you, my sense is a lot of individual investors, unfortunately, just throw their proxies in the trash. So I guess tell me if you agree with that. And then what about fund managers and their role around proxy voting?
Sure thing. So you're right that most retail shareholders, just by looking at the numbers, tend not to exercise their right to vote, which is, I suppose, understandable in the sense that they don't necessarily have a very strong incentive to do so. However, asset managers, money managers in general, typically do have a fiduciary obligation to vote the shares that they are managing. And so in that sense, it's quite different. They tend to take that rather seriously. And there's an entire industry that's propped up basically supporting proxy voting, typically composed of proxy advisors, so two firms that exist in this space, ISS and Glass Lewis, and I suppose us now as well. And then there's one very large vote machine that basically has built out the infrastructure and the plumbing behind proxy voting, and that company is called Broadridge. And that's roughly the lay of the land for proxy voting.
All right, so perfect segue here. You mentioned those proxy advisory services. Explain for us what you're doing at Troop and some of the issues you're attempting to solve.
Sure thing. So if you think about what goes into a fund, typically it's a lot of different stocks. And, in theory, because you have the obligation to vote, you're supposed to be you're supposed to be showing up at every annual shareholder meeting, but as you can imagine, that's kind of difficult to do. It's also hard to make an informed voting decision on dozens and dozens and dozens or sometimes hundreds of stocks that you have in your portfolio that, again, you're responsible to be voting for. And so proxy advisory essentially exists in order to help asset managers make quick and well-informed decisions on how to vote. And that's basically what we do. We help companies, funds, basically figure out how they feel about voting, what they think is important to focus on, what types of people they want on boards, what types of issues they care about, and then simply our technology enables them to, in simple conversational English, generate a proxy voting policy that they can then seamlessly apply to vote on their behalf at all annual shareholder meetings for all the stocks in their portfolio.
And to be clear, are you only working directly with fund managers, or do you have tools that individual investors could use as well?
So this is really just for fund managers. We used to have an interface for retail shareholders. We no longer do, but I'm happy to get into that when we talk a little bit about the origin story of Troop.
Well, one of the reasons I ask, and hopefully this makes sense, is that over the past, I would say, year or two, we've seen these initiatives from firms like Vanguard and Schwab and State Street, I believe BlackRock as well, where essentially end investors can provide at least some input into how their proxies are voted. I guess I'd be curious, you know, how an initiative like that compares or contrasts with what you're doing, and then just what you think of that initiative or those initiatives overall.
Yeah. So, look, I think it's good signal. Whatever their intentions and motivations might be, as far as we're concerned at Troop, I think it's a good thing that the world's largest asset managers are looking to try and return some voting decision and some participation decision over to ultimately their clients, who are all for the most part retail shareholders in these funds. The way that a few of the larger names are doing it is that they are letting you choose from a drop-down list of kind of prefabricated voting policies that most likely represent the different sets of values and policy preferences that most people have. And in our view, I think that's a good step in the right direction. I think it's a lot to ask people to show up and vote every single ballot item on every single stock that they have in their portfolio. And so this makes it a little bit easier for them. To be honest, BlackRock is setting it up this year in their iShares ETF, one of their biggest ones, and we'll see. We'll see towards the end of this annual shareholder meeting season, which takes place between now and the end of June, essentially what people selected, what their participation rate was, did that influence or change any of the votes. It's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah, you mentioned the what the intentions and motivations of some of these firms may be. I'll tell you, I think one of the reasons why a company like, say, Vanguard or BlackRock is doing this is because there has been some pushback or concern that these firms own too much of individual companies. And you might recall, I'm sure you do, that Vanguard founder Jack Bogle, in his last op-ed in the Wall Street Journal before he passed away, he talked about this concern of Vanguard wielding too much power in corporate boardrooms. I'm curious if you agree that's something that larger fund companies will continue to need to address. And I'll color that by also saying I was just reading yesterday in the Wall Street Journal where they were talking about this proxy battle at Disney, right, where you have Nelson Peltz and Trian Partners, who's a hedge fund. They're making this this activist push to get some board seats. But then BlackRock they came out and said they're going to support Disney in pushing back, just as an example of maybe a larger fund company wielding that power. What do you think about all that?
Yeah, I think it's honestly fascinating. And speaking of which, the Disney AGM is actually going to take place tomorrow. So we'll probably find out relatively soon after the AGM, who ends up winning those board seats. But it's quite fascinating. I think that as you mentioned, Mr. Bogle did indeed send a small word of warning about what happens when there's a little bit too much consolidated power. I think ultimately what he's hinting at is the early concepts of anti-competition. And it can become a little bit difficult. It's probably not a good thing for over 50% of the industry to be bundled up into funds that ultimately run up to two or three large holders. There's just a lot of concentration of power and influence in any particular direction. I think it's probably not great. Concentration of power is something that you want to try and avoid a little bit. That being said, last year when a few of these large asset managers experimented with kicking back voting rights to their institutional investor clients, those very same clients kicked back the voting decision to BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, basically saying, guys, what are we paying you for, right? It's part of the responsibility for the large asset manager to do that. And so I think what that opened up is a whole conversation about the value that you're getting from this voting technology and the voting interface and the proxy advisory. And that's the conversation that we're really excited to get into.
I think sort of on that topic, I'd be curious if you have any specific views on ESG, where, there's been some concern that companies should be focused on maximizing shareholder value and not on some of the social agenda type stuff, those sorts of things. And obviously, those aren't mutually exclusive, right? I'm not getting into that debate today, but you may have heard of an ETF issuer called Strive, where their entire thrust is that they're going to push companies to maximize shareholder value. But then on the other hand, there's an ETF issuer like Engine Number One, who they successfully filled some board seats at Exxon with directors who are more climate conscious. I'm just curious if you have any thoughts around sort of that whole ESG debate.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think it's an interesting one. I have two views on ESG. The first is, I mean, above all else, it was initiated as a sort of accounting system to try and measure to a certain extent, companies' environmental and or societal and or governance practices. I think what's confusing is mixing environmental and societal concepts along with just basic governance concepts. I think that the G in ESG should probably be separated entirely. But, you know, at the end of the day, especially, for example, if you're a thematic fund that has a specific mission either to, I don't know, deploy capital and support, eco-friendly or green initiatives, or on the other hand, you're a thematic fund focused on supporting the oil and gas industry, whatever it may be, ultimately what you would want is your proxy voting choices to reflect, the theme of your fund. And I think one of the issues is typically we're not seeing a lot of variance in voting outcomes, and that's also because in addition to the concentration of power, you know, within BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard, you also have a lot of concentration in market ownership in the two main proxy advisory firms, and in particular one that tends to dominate the market. And so as a result, if you have a lot of people consuming the same research, you will end up with voting outcomes that are roughly the same, which in our view is a little bit of a shame because it's our view that each of these funds spend a lot of time building out strategy and identity, et cetera, aren't really able to have a voting policy that reflects that. So whether it's ESG or not, I mean, in our view, it actually should be more complex than that. There's a ton of data out there to make really, really customized and very specific voting decisions based on your fund, and that's really what we're pushing people to consider.
Felix, just a couple of minutes left. If we come full circle here, why did you start Troop? Like, where did the passion around this initially come from for you?
Yeah, so you actually mentioned Engine Number One. I think that was a really fascinating example. It happened in 2021. And that was a form of, you know, shareholder activism, but in particular hedge fund activism. So at the time, Engine Number One was a hedge fund before they spun up their ETF. At roughly around the same time, a story that is on a totally different side of the spectrum on retail shareholder investing, GameStop happened, where a whole bunch of retail shareholders, you know, loaded up on GameStop shares. But the most interesting thing to me in that story is that, you know, like nearly 90% of the retail shareholders in GameStop showed up at the AGM and vote at the annual shareholder meeting and exercise their right to vote their shares. And, you know, looking at those two headlines side by side, there was a bit of an aha moment. Like there's something here. That it might be the right time and the right place. Let's take a look at the market for governance and kind of figure out, like, are there ways to get people to exercise more shareholder voting responsibilities? Are there ways to get asset managers to think about it more creatively? And, you know, two and a half, three years of kind of obsessive pursuit of that thought has landed us where we're at today.
Well, Felix, I'll tell you, I just find this whole topic to be fascinating. I know proxy voting puts some people to sleep, not me. I think there's so much here. Clearly, it doesn't put you to sleep as well. But look, best of luck to you moving forward. Hopefully, we can connect again down the road. And thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
That was Felix Tabari, co-founder and CEO of Troop.